there a doctor in the house?
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Doctor.
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 And doctor.
It's time for Advanced Medicine Monday with Dr. Rashid Batar.
I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer.
I'm a doctor, not a mechanic.
I'm a doctor, not a coal miner.
The doctor is in.
Well, we're trying to get the doctor in. Out of the country, apparently traveling like he always does. Dr. Batar is not in one place for very long. And we'll be doing some advanced medicine with or without him, but hopefully with him. Mackenzie's going to get him on the line momentarily. Super Don, we were talking about the opening of this hour. And, you know, the question I have for you, since we've been covering this so-called polio-like mystery illness, yes, and all the weeks that we've been hearing about it, I have yet to see one mainstream media report or article or even CDC query about, wonder if there's a hot lot of vaccines or is there a cluster, but it seems to be spreading across the country. But to find out, because the age group in question are very much within the realm of booster shots, vaccinations, etc., right, suffering from this acute flaccid myelitis or acute flaccid, you know, polio-like syndrome. And I'm trying to give them some leeway, but they still won't come around and see what we're seeing.
No, they, you know, this is just the story continues to grow and grow. Today, CDC came out and said there are currently 155 patients under investigation this year for this AFM, this acute flaccid myelitis. And of those, 62 have been confirmed by the CDC in 22 states, and the remainder are being investigated to, you know, confirm that it's AFM. So it's like anybody that you talk to or that has talked to the press about this, they're just throwing their hands up in the air just going, we don't know. We don't get it.
How can they be so stupid? Honestly. I'm sorry to be rude, but I'm talking about you reporters, you mainstream medical reporters. You are so dunderheaded.
There's not a lot of investigation going on by the investigative journalists, is there?
You couldn't find a lead if it was hanging out your nose, right? Oh, we have Dr. Batar. Dr. Batar, hey, thanks. He's here with a burrito. Welcome, Dr. Batar. I just ate some organic burrito. Mexican food. I ate some organic Mexican food before the show today. Thankfully, no gas, apparently, but we got enough to get Dr. Batar connected. How are you, my friend?
I'm well. I don't know what was going on with our communication, so I apologize for that. I'm trying to actually get a position so that it's not as much light here, but anyway, with Facebook, but I apologize for the connection. I don't know what happened. I could hear Mackenzie calling in, but anyway, he couldn't hear me, so.
No worries. We can hear you now, so it worked out, Dr. Batar. We were just opening on the issue of the polio-like illness that seems to be spreading across the United States, and, you know, no medical reporter, right? No, if there are investigative journalists, I just mentioned, I said they couldn't find a lead if it was falling out their nose, to ask the simple question, hey, could this be a vaccine hot lot scenario? Could it be just, you know, one category of vaccines that's occurring? I mean, no mention of it, as if it doesn't exist as a possible cause.
Yeah, you know, I don't even know what to make of that. It's an interesting situation, but it's not really surprising based upon things that we've seen in the past, right? I mean,
it's obvious to us. I mean, that I'm not saying it's the only thing. You know, we talk about the straws that break the camel's back, that concept. And, you know, as we've said, and you've acknowledged for so many years here, that, you know, there are strengths and weaknesses in each individual and in each child. But we're seeing a generalized weakness expand and spread every generation, but even within the generation that's right now receiving vaccines, that I think we're going to see more and more of these events, not fewer.
I completely agree with you. And so whatever genetic predispositions that they are and whatever environmental triggers that are piling on, they're basically exploiting any of those inherent weaknesses that may be there. And I think that perhaps, again, this may be the cynical portion in me coming out, but I think that they were actually designed to exploit those things, because if you look at things such as the methyltetrahydrofolic reductase enzyme deficiency or the glutathionase transferase issue or the CMT polymorphism or any of these other various genetic, I don't want to say deficiencies, but more genetic weaknesses perhaps, it seems like somebody knew what was going to happen, and it was orchestrated. It wasn't coincidental. Why is it that it's affecting the most cognitively advanced subgroup within the pediatric population, the thimerosal issue, the autism aspect? It doesn't affect children with average intelligence. It seems to only affect those that are cognitively superior. Higher cognitive functions of strategy, humor, those are the things that you see lost. And when these children are supposedly recovered, you don't see these components coming back. This is the thing that I distinguished our treatment with, that these higher functions of cognitive functions, such as the high cognitive functions, such as humor, strategy, those are the things that come back when you truly treat them. Not that you just cover it up and you train them as ABA. You know, that's like training a dog to get a paper. That doesn't mean that the dog can read the paper and comprehend it and then give you an analysis of what was in that paper. And so these children that it seems to affect seem to be very intelligent. If you talk to parents with autistic children, the one thing is they're extremely, extremely bright. They can start using iPads and do things on computers that nobody has taught them how to do, and they can do it far superior than any other child within their peer group that is neurotypic. And so this is one of the things that I think that whoever designed this abominable type of process to start back in, you know, whenever it was, in the 70s, 60s, you know, 90s, whenever it was, I think that they orchestrated it and it was planned out. I know that sounds really, really dark, but I really believe that's what it was.
Well, listen, this is borne out by the reality that the FDA is not protecting the people from dangerous drugs. It's protecting the people who make the drugs from the people who they harm or even kill or addict. As evidenced last hour, we opened with the FDA set to approve a new, even more addictive, even more powerful opioid. And I got half joked about this. They finally adopted homeopathy and like cures like. They think the only way we're going to solve the opioid crisis is make even more powerful opioids and bring them out to market. I mean, it's absolutely absurd. They're going to kill more people. So at a certain point, you got to question, is that their intent?
And I really think, Robert, I really think that, that is their intent. I think that that is actually planned out and it was premeditated. I think that was exactly what it was their intent.
Well, you know, and people might be outraged to hear that. I don't know, possibly. But honestly, how many times do these things have to happen before you go, you know what, they're doing it on purpose? And it's not to say that every underling in government or at the FDA has any clue what's really going on, but on some level, the fact that they could, for instance, continue the vaccine program that has resulted in over $4 billion being paid out to injured and killed children, the family of those kids, and not acknowledge, even though we've already found that, you know, there's a CDC whistleblower acknowledging wrongdoing and cover-ups there. I mean, you can't continue to say that, well, they're just not sure. No, they are purposefully denying or not even acknowledging its existence. Case in point, the acute flaccid myelitis that they claim, we have no earthly idea what it is. Maybe we can find a vaccine to help us prevent it.
Yeah, and it's always finding a vaccine and to prevent something, right? And now they're coming up with side effects from vaccines, trying to come up with vaccines to prevent those side effects. What was it that we were talking about a couple of weeks ago? One of the conditions, they were talking about creating a vaccine for, it was something to do with the side effect of vaccines, or one of these things that we've been talking about. We know it's caused by vaccines, but they were coming up with a thought process of actually creating a vaccine to prevent this issue that is a side effect of vaccines. What was it, Robert?
Super Don, do you remember that? I remember that there was a vaccine to be given to prevent the side effects from another vaccine. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
Actually, the side effects were being caused by a vaccine, but we knew, I mean...
Oh, well, we know what it was.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I don't remember. Maybe Super Don could refresh our memory. We've got so many stories
coming
through.
I'll have to look
that
up. Yeah, it sounds familiar, though.
Yeah, no, but I mean, you're right. I mean, Dr. Pitara, they're not going to say, oh, this is the vaccine to... No, because obviously somebody might wake up and go, wait a second. That makes no sense. Well, why would I want the vaccine if I'm going to need another vaccine to get deal with the side effects of the first vaccine? Of course, and that's also the reason why these reporters who work for Big Pharma, I know that's indirect, but let's be honest. Where does the budget come to pay for these investigative journalists that don't investigate? It comes from, right. What, 50% or more of their revenue coming from Big Pharma.
Yeah. No, it's very interesting. They're very organized. I have to give them that, right? They're very organized, mm-hmm. and it's a systematic way of eroding certain things and creating certain problems and creating obstacles and barriers. And, for example, it's not just saying, oh, the people that are talking about don't do vaccines. They go after the parents. They basically attack the parents that are being proactive about choice, about being aware, by being informed, you know, this informed consent thing. They will ridicule and actually attack parents that speak out and say that they've seen too much damage in their first child or the second child, and they don't want to, you know, vaccinate their third child, and they'll attack those parents. And then they'll use the pseudoscience nonsense that by you not vaccinating your child, you're increasing the risk of the rest of the population getting a disease or getting all these diseases. Like, what disease are you talking about? Cervical cancer? Hepatitis B? I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. The logic doesn't... They're counting on the general public being ignorant of basic fundamental scientific facts. The problem is the general public is more informed and learning on a daily basis. Okay, the knowledge base of the general population is exponentially increasing. And the reason it's increasing is because of the advent of such things as Google and, you know, the internet. It allows the dissemination of information. And like what you and I are doing, Robert, and, you know, radio and like our ability to reach millions of people now, and such as us and many of the people, Natural News, you know, Mike Adams, Ty, and his Truth About Cancer, Truth About... More and more people are getting information now from sources that they rely upon and that they know are true, and they can still go out. I tell people, don't just because I said don't trust it, challenge it. Go out there, yeah. Do your own homework. You know, God gave us all a brain for a reason, so start using your brain. It's not a train, it's a brain. Use it.
Yeah.
If you don't,
well,
you don't lose it.
There, unless it's destroyed by vaccines, which is what they apparently want to do. By the way, the prediction here is that if it hasn't happened already, they're going to start attacking us. And all you parents out there who are pointing out this acute flaccid myelitis is likely caused by vaccines, they're going to say it's outrageous. We need to suppress this dangerous new speech that people are sharing.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
In all my years of radio, I've never seen anything like this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Information is so good, it requires no expiration date. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
I'm so sorry, y'all. We've been teasing our folks watching on YouTube and Facebook about a major announcement for 2019 that'll affect especially our West Coasters that have been longing for another event out there. Dr. Bitar is with us, of course, each and every week at this time doing advanced medicine. You can go to advancedmedicine.com, and we have it linked up in the show notes, of course, at robertscottbell.com. I think our audience has ADHD. They just want it now. Everything's got to be instant. Dr. Bitar, what are we going to do?
Well, I think we're going to say it because we said 30 people before the end of the show, and we had 30 people before even our break ended, and even Facebook froze me up. So it was interesting, but yes, we're going to go ahead and announce it. So, and it's not just with the West Coast, but...
Yeah, anybody.
It's going to be open to everybody. On May 25th and May 26th, there will be a two-day live event, Advanced Medicine Conference, that will be held at the Pasadena Convention Center in Pasadena, California, about 15 minutes from Los Angeles International Airport. So put those dates aside. It's Memorial Day weekend, but we know that it is a holiday weekend, but we had to find a venue that could handle what we anticipate. My goal, my intention is it's going to be big, and I'll just leave it at that. And so ticket sales will go up starting, I think, next week. It may be this week even, but we'll let you guys know it's going to be at Advanced Medicine Conferences or advancedmedicineconference.com. Robert, I'll get you the link,
Okay.
But, this is something that Robert and I and Ty had actually done, 8 years ago, 9 years ago? We did a couple of these, and this is a test. And our plan was to roll these out on a much bigger scale, and God willing, if it's well-received, we'll do them 3 or 4 a year. Definitely 2 a year, but starting off, the first one is in the spring of 2019 in California, the West Coast.
Right. And now, it doesn't mean that only Californians can come. I'm just teasing because a lot of people on the left coast or the West Coast couldn't make it to Chicago for the Health Freedom Expo, and we had hoped it would be there. But you have come to all of our rescues, Dr. Bitar, and we're going to do an advanced medicine conference May 25th, 26th, Memorial Day weekend in Pasadena, California, Los Angeles area. And I think plan now because people have that 3-day weekend, and a lot of times we want to stay home and cook out. But no, it's also a big travel weekend, too. Come to a place where healing will be and empowering will be happening. Very exciting. And again, we'll get you the links as soon as they're available.
And Robert, we know that our friends and certain governmental agencies will be listening, and they'll be very excited to be there too. And so there will be certain things that will be put in place. They will be, they froze me again. I cannot believe Facebook is actually freezing me again. Is this interesting? Is this coincidence or?
Well, I thought, you know, they didn't want you on the air because we couldn't get you on the phone earlier. So obviously there's big stuff going on, my friend.
I mean, some people would say that it's maybe just paranoia on our part. Perhaps it is. But it is interesting that this is the third time in, what, 10 minutes, 15 minutes? And I've got a perfect 100% internet connection here. There's no problem with the internet connection here.
Don't know. Like you said, the internet has ADHD. Somebody has it. In fact, I've got to talk about this because there's a story about ADHD that the youngest children in classrooms are frequently mislabeled as ADHD, and then they're drugged. The youngest. I mean, who would have a shorter attention span? Older kids who have the ability, you know, cognitive development, or the younger kids where it's a normal state of being that is now basically, I would say criminalized, but it's basically made into a disease.
You're referring to ADHD?
Yes. And they're, the younger the kid, the more likely they are to be diagnosed and drugged.
Yeah, that's actually an excuse to put kids on medication. I remember my daughter, who's 25 now, when she was starting kindergarten, she was 5 or 4 and a half years old. She was being tested, and they gave her a task to do. And when they told her that the time was up, she refused to stop, and she continued. She was also reading. They were asking her to read, and they had like this big sign with a couple of little kids' words. And my daughter was reading fluently at that point. And I said, "Sasha, read that." And she was kind of being bashful. So the teacher said, "Well, you know, obviously they were trying to assess her education level or her to place there." And they said, "Well, obviously she doesn't know how to read yet." And I said, "No, she knows how to read." And they said, "Well, she's obviously not reading." And I said, "Go ahead and read it." And so she finally gets out of her little shyness and she says, "Mecklenburg County School District." But she's reading the fine print at the bottom, right?
Yeah.
They were like blown away because I mean, go ahead. They had like cat and dog and something else.
Right.
And she's like, "Mecklenburg." Okay. So they told me everything was great. They said that she's reading on a third grade level. She's kindergarten. And then they said, "There's only one problem." I said, "What problem is that?"
Oh, wait, hold that problem. We're going to come back, talk about what that was after the break. Cliffhanger happening. See you in Pasadena, May 25th and 26th, by the way. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Robert Scott Bell Show. The Robert Scott Bell Show. Bell Show. Robert Scott the Bell Robert Show. Scott Bell Show.
All right, Dr. Bitar, you left us hanging because we ran out of time in that last segment. You were telling a story about your daughter, who's now 25, when she was younger, much younger, third grade, I think you said. And it was some kind of reading test and where they were going with this and what they were going to say and what was the news. And I'm just like, now we got to review it again.
Kindergarten. It was pre-kindergarten. They were assessing her, and they gave her some tasks to do, and she, when they told the time was up, she refused to stop, and she continued to do the task. And she did not stop until she completed it, despite numerous requests by them for her to stop. And they assessed her reading ability and her math ability to be on the third grade level. She was 4 and a half years old. She hadn't even started kindergarten yet. So they said that obviously we cannot put this 4-year-old, 4 and a half year old child with 7-year-old in third grade or 8 years old in third grade. But they said it also seems that she has a problem because of her, during her questioning, you know, when she did the task that they were given. And they didn't know I was a doctor, and I said, what's the problem? They said, well, it appears that she needs some medication, and they were going to recommend her for medication. And I said, medication for what? And she said, the lady, the assessor, I think she was a psychologist or a school nurse or something, she said, well, she appears to have ADHD. And I almost levitated. I was like, ADHD? Based on what? Based on what criteria? And she said, well, because we asked her to stop the task that she was doing, and she refused to, and we asked her four or five times, and she refused to. And I said, what was it? When did she stop, and what made her stop? Until she completed it. To me, that's goal orientation. That means that the child is not going to stop until they get, you know, to me, that's a positive thing, because they want to medicate the individual.
Right.
And to dumb them down so that you won't stop the task, because we're going to stop it. No, goal orientation should be something that's rewarded, not penalized and punished by putting a child on a drug.
I'll tell you what she had, really. She had ODD. Oppositional defiance disorder. She got it from her dad, Dr. Rasha Bitar. Doesn't take kind to authoritarians telling him what to do.
I like that, Robert. I want to use that again. That's really good. I like that.
Now, of course, ODD, oppositional defiance disorder. Of course, it's in the DSM. Basically, it means that if you don't, you know, bow down to authoritarians, you need to be drugged, just like ADHD is. Now, we're not going to tell you here on this show that there may not be problems in the gastrointestinal system of some of these kids, and the gut-brain connection is very real, impacting on issues such as attention. But in many cases, it is normal and healthy to be a kid and be bouncing off the walls with energy rather than being forced to sit down in an artificial environment indoors under artificial lighting to be just basically, uniformed down to being good little citizens. I don't want good little citizens. I want kids to grow up to be what they're here to be and do what they're here to do, and it may not have anything to do with being good little citizens.
Well, just so people know, ADHD and ADD, these are all varying levels of toxicity. It appears that a severe ADHD can continue to, if they're deteriorating, and usually you don't see this, usually the children get better as they get older because their pathways of detoxification start to come online. Certain things happen, they say, well, they grow out of it. They don't grow out of it, but their bodies are resilient. The human body is extremely resilient. I'm amazed at all the things we do to the body that the human body still continues to survive. But I think that certain children, their pathways of excretion are still relatively intact, and those are the ones that get the ADD, ADHD. And yes, Robert, you're absolutely right. Some of these kids have issues with gut. They have issues. They have, you know, they all have certain types of issues. My point was their lack standard of just adding a goal-oriented child and calling them ADD or ADHD. This is the issue that they start labeling kids based upon criteria that's absolutely ludicrous. I mean, I seriously went off. I basically told this woman that I was going to press charges against her. I was going to call the North Carolina Medical Board. And I asked her, are you a doctor? And she said, no. Then why are you practicing medicine without a license? Because I am a physician and I am licensed, and you just committed a felony. I used that. I mean, I scared the crap out of the whole school district there.
Good job.
I mean, but anyway.
But even when a duly licensed medical authority diagnoses ADHD, is it based on a blood test, a hair analysis, a saliva test, a urine test? No, it's a subjective series of behaviors that they say is evidence of a chemical imbalance of some kind. Otherwise, why would they drug it with some kind of chemical?
And here's the thing, Robert, you just hit on a very interesting point. Autism is a diagnosis that's in DSM-4. And DSM-3, DSM-4, those are categories of medicine that are considered psychiatric disorders. They're not considered to be biological, physiological conditions based upon some type of infectious process or toxicity process or anything. They are considered to be mental illnesses. So by definition, by giving a child a diagnosis of autism, they're causing a massive distraction and diverting the attention from a biological, physiological poison of the system to something that, it's in their head. It's psychiatric. And even psychiatric conditions, a lot of them have a nutritional issue. Their essential fats are off, the neurotransmitters are thrown off because of some kind of toxic substance. You know, it's never just something that came out of nowhere. I mean, psychiatric illness doesn't come out of nowhere. These people have chemical imbalances that are induced by some type of a toxicity, heavy metals, et cetera, et cetera. But I just find that interesting, too, because, you know, as you said, this is autism is in the category of a psychiatric illness. So by definition, they're actually throwing seeing it out of the whole area where you would even bother looking for toxic issues or other etiologies.
Right, which is where they can have plausible deniability to say it can't be the vaccines because it's a psychiatric disorder, a behavioral disorder, right? You know, another thing that contributes to these things is glyphosate Roundup. Big award we talked about, and we're celebrating the $289 million award to Dwayne Johnson, who was basically poisoned by Roundup. And the Monsanto trial, they found against Monsanto, and they had a big award. Now, the controversy was that the judge was apparently going to overturn the verdict and, you know, rule on behalf of Monsanto despite the jury ruling. Good news, sort of good news scenario. The good news is that she did not overturn the finding, the ruling, but the sort of good news, which is sort of bad news, but it's not horrible, they've reduced the award to Monsanto that Monsanto is going to have to pay to, I believe, $39 million from $289. So it's better than we had predicted, and that was being predicted. So they're still going to be hurt because the original verdict that they're guilty of this, although I don't think it was a criminal, it was a civil case, but you get the idea that they were responsible for, and the cover-ups that came out in this trial, what was revealed behind the scenes, what Monsanto was hiding and lying about, was quite devastating. And so that is not overturned, folks. So that is ultimately a good news story.
So it went from 289 down to 39 million?
I believe that's correct. Am I reading that right, Super Don?
I believe so, yes.
Yes. So they reduced punitive damages specifically from 250 to the 39 million. So there might be another aspect of the award that's still going, but a great reduction. I say great, not in good terms, but a big reduction. But still, that's not got Monsanto off the hook. So it's better than what was being predicted, because if it had been overturned completely, that could have been a disaster, and that did not happen. So again, a little bright spot on what was some people were predicting. Now, yeah. That would also result in more chronic inflammation among all of my listeners, including me, being inflamed about Monsanto. We try to kind of dissipate that with good humor whenever we can here on the Robert Scott Bell Show and laugh a little bit, but it's hard sometimes with these very serious issues. Alzheimer's, big topic here on the show. Neurological degradation diseases, whether it be autism in childhood, which is a brain injury and inflammation and other things. Chronic inflammation now linked to Alzheimer's. Really? Where have they been? Is this new?
I don't know. If they consider this new, then they've been living under a rock somewhere. I mean, Alzheimer's, what's the difference? Let me ask, Super Don, let me ask you this. What is the difference physiologically between an autistic child and a patient with Alzheimer's?
Age?
That's it. That's exactly it.
Super Don nails it.
Look at this. They again froze me on Facebook. What is up with that, huh?
I don't know. They don't want you to relate some of these things. I'm glad that it keeps coming back. Do you have to restart it when that happens, or it just kind of comes back eventually?
Nope. You have to restart it. You have to restart the whole thing. And so
Wow. It's
like multiple videos that are being, you know, I mean, it's frustrating for the people that are watching, but no, it has to be restarted.
Well, thank the Lord for, at this point, we still have a solid stream through the YouTube version for now, so we'll keep rolling with it. Now, what they're saying is it's widely shown that possessing the APOE4 gene is the major genetic risk factor of Alzheimer's disease. Not all APOE4 carriers develop it. Why? Well, because it's not a genetic disease. What is causing it to manifest?
Actually, Robert, let's clarify that. So APOE is actually a cardiovascular marker. Okay, mm-hmm. And it was found in a study in Christchurch, and I can't
New Zealand.
In New Zealand, and I know the doctor well too. For some reason, I'm forgetting his name now. Are you still there, Robert?
Yes, we're here.
So they basically the study came out about 15 years ago, and it was published in the Journal of Alzheimer's Research, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, basically, APOE is this cardiovascular marker, and you get one from your mother and one from your father. Well, they found that the 4-4, if you have this APOE, and APOE is a 2, 3, or 4 that you can mm-hmm. get from your mother and father. So if you have a 4-4, you have the highest propensity for the inability to excrete metals, and this is what they end up finding in the Alzheimer's research. Now, if you have a 3-4, you have a basically 2-2. You're excreting mercury. Great. 4-4 is the worst combination. A 2-3 is not as good as a 2-2, but it's better than a 3-3 and a 3-4, and then you get a 4-4. Now, we started doing ApoE testing in autistic children in 2000, and I guess it must have been more than 15 years ago, because I think we started in 2000 or maybe in 1999 doing ApoE. I can't remember. In fact, Great Smoky's Laboratory, which is now Genova, they had a genetic test that they were doing at that time, and they created neurogenomics, and they came and talked with me for about 4 hours, and I was the one who put together the neurogenomics for them. It was my input along with their laboratory directors, and ApoE was the one component that I had suggested that they do. So ApoE, for example, Avi's ApoE was 3-4, okay? So between his mom and me, one of us, you know, either I'm a 3, I could be a 2-3, a 3-3, or 3-4, or his mom could have been a 2-3, 3-3, or 3-4, and one of us gave him the 3 and one of us gave him the 4. So 3-4 is actually a very common component in autistic children that you see.
But what you've differentiated here that's so important, Dr. Batar, is it's indicative of, again, excretion pathways. And in this case, they're only mentioning inflammation. They mention nothing about heavy metals and the inability to move those things out of the body, which would then, what, implicate all introduction of heavy metals, including, guess what? Yeah, vaccinations. Anything but vaccinations, folks. Find out what you can't criticize, and you'll know who's in charge. And what's at stake? We got a lot more healing to go. One more segment to do it in. Advanced Medicine with Dr. Batar on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
In all my years of radio, I've never seen anything like this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Advanced Medicine, and we get together each and every week at this time with Dr. Rajan Batar, advancedmedicine.com. Links are up in the show notes at robertscottbell.com. And I'll be in, where am I going to be tomorrow? Stuart, Florida, Peggy's Natural Foods with a lecture in the evening. And then the next night, Coral Springs, Florida with Toonies. And you can check it out in the show notes, all the upcoming events. We're going to add another event. As those of you who have been paying attention, Pasadena, California, Memorial Day weekend, 2019, May 25th, 26th, Advanced Medicine. Are we going to call it a conference? What are we going to call it? Advanced Medicine what?
It's actually called AdvancedMedicineConference.com is going to be the website, and that's what they're named it. So, Robert, there is actually another announcement. While all this was happening about the Advanced Medicine Conference and setting up the venue, it's interesting how it happened, but I'm actually speaking on January 5th at the same convention center, because there's another convention going on January 5th. But when they saw and heard what we were talking about, they asked me to speak there. It's about, I think last year they had about 12,000 people there. And it's a wellness, health, it's mostly around yoga, mostly about fitness. But they've asked me to speak there. So just on a side thing, because they found out what was happening at the same venue. So it's a totally different event. So
that's really fortuitous that in January, the new year, you can actually announce, hey, come on back and see us at the Memorial Day event in Pasadena.
Right. That's just going to be, you know, a one-hour lecture or whatever, but
sure.
Actual event, Advanced Medicine, is going to be a two-day event. And I'm not announcing who all is going to be there as far as speakers. It's only going to be about 6 or 7 people. I guess I have to say that, Robert, you're going to be there because you and I are the two people that have to be there. But I'm not going to announce all the rest of the people because, we're waiting for confirmation. But there's select, very select people that will be there. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, exactly, folks. So get ready. It's going to be one of those blow your socks off if you wear socks weekends of Advanced Medicine coming up. So, again, once it's official, we'll get you information on how to get tickets and be there with us in Pasadena, California, May 25th, 26th of 2019. On the break, we were talking about Alzheimer's and the reference points to herpes viruses linked to 1/2 of Alzheimer's cases. But, again, the blaming of a virus or a bacteria or fungus, they may be there. They may be contributing, but are they the cause? No, the law of the terrain indicates what will grow, what will manifest, what will proliferate in any given environment. And if you've got a heavy metal toxic body, heavy metal toxic nervous system, particularly mercury. Now we learn also aluminum and others. You are going to be ripe for all kinds of destructive internal activities, including the rise of things that normally do nothing but hang out in the background or maybe part of the happy, healthy microbiome working together with one another. But once that terrain is altered, now all bets are off, and you could be victimized by that which you didn't catch, but you created from within because you didn't know the garbage they were injecting into you was going to cause it.
This all comes down to the Facts on Toxicity video series that we put out there. There's no cost for that. If you go to advancedmedicine.com, you can register there for free if you haven't already registered. And on the left-hand side, under Education, you'll find the Facts on Toxicity videos. I think it's 9 videos, but it goes through the 7 toxicities, and it talks about, on the third toxicity, the first one is heavy metal, second one is persistent organic pollutants, but the third one is what we call the opportunistics. And the opportunistics are the fungus, the bacteria, the viruses, the spirochetes, mycoplasma, parasites. And we talk about, and all the studies are shown there, not all of them, but a lot of studies are shown as references. But why do people get these opportunistics? Why do we refer to them as opportunistics? Well, we refer to them as opportunistics because they need an opportunity to set up house. If they're, the opportunity that they need is the immune system needs to be suppressed so that they can set up. Why is it that one person gets it and another person doesn't? It's because one person's immune system has been rendered susceptible. And why has it been rendered susceptible? It's either one because of heavy metals or two because of persistent organic pollutants. Of course, they can do other things, too, if you've been exposed to radiation, this, that, the other. But basically, it's usually heavy metals and or persistent organic pollutants. The other one thing, and we talk about nutrition too, but if they're nutritionally depleted, they're also going to be more susceptible because the immune system doesn't have all the things that it needs to be able to function correctly. So that's another aspect.
And finally, one last thing to our UK Health Radio listeners. We love our British listeners. Come on to Pasadena too. You can fly to LA from London. Flu jab. You call it the flu jab. It protected just 1 in 10 pensioners last year. Amid concerns, the new vaccines will run out. Like, You would need to each get 10 vaccines if the 10% would become 100%. Of course, you wouldn't. It's insane. Y'all stay away from the flu shot, even in England. Now we're banned in England, Dr. Bitar. But, hey, we'll live with it. We'll keep going. And we'll let them know what they need to know because it's time to go, Dr. Bitar. What is it?
Robert, you're doing an event in UK. Power to Heal is yours.
All right, UK coming.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.